Thanks, Brian. And still to come on the news at one, more on that guilty plea by a man for the murder of two men in Sligo last year. Justice Minister Helen McEntee will be here on insurance changes, Garda numbers and sexual violence. Inflation falls and rising prices, a ship full of burning electric cars, a capital Blue Monday. And all over in Australia, Nigeria nil, Ireland nil. Let's cross live down under. Our reporter Samantha Librari is pitchside at Brisbane Stadium. Sam.
Well, Gavin, if you can hear the celebrations here behind me, it's Nigeria who've gotten out of the group, but it's the Ireland fans who are celebrating here. In the first half, the game finished nil-all. In the first half, Ireland dominated possession. Some exciting and attractive play from them, some real chances created. But as it has happened in this tournament with Ireland before, things slipped before half-time and Nigeria came close on several occasions before the break. Buoyed by the news that Australia were 2-0 up against Canada, Nigeria looked more alive at the start of the second half. They dominated possession and play for most of that time and they looked more intent on trying to score. And Courtney Brosnan did very well to stop some of their attacks. But in the 58th minute, news came through that Australia were now 3-0 up against Canada, which meant that Nigeria, no matter what the outcome here, were going to go through. There were some substitutions by Vera Powell. Abby Larkin came on, Marissa Shiva came on, and importantly, Diane Caldwell, one of the veteran players, got some World Cup time. There were 7 minutes of added time. The Nigerians relaxed a little bit near the end. Ireland took their opportunities and tried to create chances, but at the end it finished nil-all and Nigeria go through. Ireland don't, but the crowds here made it feel like another outcome altogether. Overall, Ireland looked like a team that were still in this contest, and maybe the pressure of the fact that, you know, the pressure was off was why they played more freely and effectively than usual. The crowd here, the official attendance was 24,884. They were certainly louder and prouder than any of the crowds I've heard before, particularly the Irish. And it gave the feel of a game that meant something. Ireland here, they were essentially playing for pride, and I think they achieved that tonight.
4-0 in the other game in Melbourne, Australia beating Canada. That means Australia and Nigeria go through to the second round. Ireland going home, as you said, Sam. Home. What's the plan for coming home, and what's the plan for their manager?
Well, as you can imagine, they'll probably relax tonight because they start their journey back to Ireland over the next 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday. And there's a homecoming planned for the team in Dublin City Centre. I understand that'll take place on Thursday around the evening time, about 6 and 7. And I think that'll be on the north side of the city. More details to follow. But as you said, the attention now turns to Vera Powell's future. Her contract expires at the end of the tournament. Now, we've had no clarity on whether that means right now, because effectively the tournament is over for Ireland, or whether that extends until the end of the tournament itself. But there's been no confirmation about a renewal by the FAI. The question has raised its head in the last couple of days, and the focus has really shifted to that. The players have been asked whether they would like to see Vera Powell stay on. They have all given what you could describe as stock answers to the question, that it's not an issue for them, it's an issue for the FAI. But equally, none of them have said that they would like to see her stay. Now, there's a Nations League game versus Northern Ireland at the end of September. That's about 6 to 8 weeks away. It's the first game that this team will play in the Aviva Stadium. And you'd really think that the FAI want to capitalise on the support that they have had here. So you would also think that the issue of the manager needs to be resolved within or before then. But I think it's unlikely that anything's going to happen between now and that homecoming on Thursday.
You're on your way home too, Sam. Your reflections on your few weeks in Australia at the World Cup?
Well, I think the results don't really tell the full story of what's happened here in Ireland's first Women's World Cup. Two defeats and a draw on paper don't say much, but I think anyone who's watched these games know that there's just so much more to be taken from this performance. You have to remember that Ireland were always the underdogs to get out of this group. It was the group of death, the hosts and the Olympic champions. But all of these games showed why this team deserved to be on the world stage. Katie McCabe, a world-class player, and her goal in the fourth minute against Canada showed, you know, that she is a world-class player, and it was one of the goals of the tournament so far. You know, the support of the Irish fans here has also been immense. It's estimated there was about 4,000 who travelled here. It felt like that amount. And tens of thousands of expats living in Australia. It has to be unique to this World Cup simply because of the huge Irish diaspora here and their desire to experience a piece of home on the other side of the world. But you can't forget when you look at this team that 6 years ago, they were changing in airport toilets and returning their tracksuits. They were described as the dirt on the shoe of the FAI, and they were largely ignored for everything they've done. In the past 2.5 weeks, they've played on the world stage. They've in front of collective crowds of more than 100,000. There's been watch parties all around Ireland, record viewing figures for the women's team. They've become household names. They've inspired a generation. So overall right now, they look like Ireland's best chance of playing in another World Cup and in any major tournament.